Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, baby. Oh my God, home of 1 billion mosquitoes. And that's not the name of a local Austin band either. There are gazillions mosquitoes everywhere, all over, todas partes, all the places, my friend, everywhere. How come? Why? Por qué? Why? Well, apparently it's because we don't cut our grass. And I mean, this household specifically. So I just found out that that's a reason. Apparently mosquitoes lurk in grass. I guess the dew that forms on blades of grass is perfect for mosquito larvae to be born in and wiggle around it. And then they emerge. The tiniest vampires you've ever seen, the cutest little vampires you will ever see. And they come out of the grass and it hordes of vampires, right? It's like that vampire movie 30 Days of Night, right? But it's instead of a horde of giant vampire, it's like a horde of tiny, minuscule, little cute vampires, and they're all going, but for them they're like rah, but they're so small, their throats are so small that's what we hear, kind of like with cats and how cats don't sound like they're roaring to us because their throats are too small to roar. So what's up with the news? What's going on? Here we go. This is what we're going to cover today. Quote, he's still the best candidate. Maine voters stand by Graham Plattner despite scandals. Followed by a story about China approving the world's first commercial brain implant, beating Neuralink to market. And then finally, we're going to close it out with a quick survey that was done recently that the results state that fewer Americans say democracy is central to countries' identity, the APNORC poll finds. So, what is up? Let's do the news. Let's cover this shit, man. What's going on? Oh, I forgot to just update you on what's going on with me personally. Let's do that lickety split. Let's super quick, all right? There's not much to say. Shit, man. Just living this life, I guess. Not particularly doing anything huge in terms of giant life events. No more babies are happening right now. Nobody died. No, thankfully, nobody, no big travel plans, but some projects working on my next Melissa Explains the Classics video, getting back into the stand-up comedy scene a little more full-time-ish, right? I'm doing it gradually. I don't want to completely estrange myself from my infant or whatever, but it's already happening. She never cries when I leave the room. She always cries when her dad leaves the room. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means because the internet will tell you anything you want to hear. AI, especially Syncophantic, will tell you what the fuck you want to hear. So there are explanations that go from one side of the spectrum to the other, where you're so awesome as a mother that your child doesn't get upset when you leave because they secure attachment. Forget about it. Like, you may as well be a wall. That's how little that's how much your child is confident that you will always be there. Like a tree. You're just something with no eyes or mouth or identity of really, but just kind of like an ever-present golem, if you will. Just a thing that plods along behind you. You never have to worry that it's going to be gone or disappear forever. And so apparently, according to the internet, that means I'm doing a fantastic job. Then you got the other side of the spectrum where it's like the parent the leaves, the baby cries, is because that's the only parent that loves them or something. And then the other parent is not loving them enough. And I hope that's not the case. I hope that's not what's happening. I hope not. Okay. I give her eggs every morning. So, and sometimes I even look at her while I'm doing it. So, you know what I mean? I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm doing a pretty good job of acknowledging her existence occasionally, once in a while, when I'm around. So if I'm around. So anyway, let's continue on with the stories. What's happening here? So first off, we have Graham Platner. Graham Platner, lots of scandals coming out on that guy. I don't usually go for focusing in on any kind of local politics too often, only when it's notable because it kind of represents something nationally. And Graham Platner is the next sore of on the herpes outbreak, if you will, of populist demagogues basically like overrunning the government now for sure 100%, which possibly Trump kind of opened the floodgates to. However, I will say that this is something that people in academia and stuff would focus on and say, hey, this is looking a lot like that time in ancient Greece where people started to, or Rome even, before the fall of the Republic or whatever the fuck, right? They're saying like, oh, this is just before you know, people, mobs would just stalk the streets looking for people to kill, you know, assassinations, right? And all this stuff. However, I don't know. I think there are a couple of characteristics about that are unique to this country that didn't exist back then. Mainly this kind of economy, this kind of culture that is so, I wouldn't even say hyper-focused on entertainment and media so much as it is, we breathe it, we eat it, we consume it, breathe it, we jerk off to it, we date it, you know, people dating computers, we love it, we hate it, we talk about it incessantly, we talk about about entertainment and media, which are basically all of them on some level, even the news, just some kind of show, right? That is necessarily warped so that for, because it's entertainment, because they need eyes on them. Otherwise, they're irrelevant. They lose ratings. They lose attention. They cease to exist. They have to make money. They always have to make money. And the only way to make money is for you to pay attention. The only way you pay attention is if they are putting on some kind of spectacle or doing something that's upsetting enough for you to not want to look away, right? It's why the feed works. The feed, you know, people act like, oh, it's so toxic and blah, blah, blah. But why do we keep looking at it? Why do you keep looking through the feed? Because when it's, whether it's good or whether it's bad, and especially when it's bad, you're still taking pleasure out of it. I would say especially bad because of Schadenfreude, right? I don't know if I pronounced that right, but you know, it's the taking pleasure of others' misfortune, and that is part of the pleasure principle. It's part of how we receive pleasure in the brain. So the media entertainment is pleasure. It's pure, it's distilled pleasure in different aesthetics, right? You get to pick one. It's almost like a perfume, right? You're a little spritz of porn, a little spritz of some, you know, tragedy over in Pakistan, a little spritz of some dictator, whatever, in some country you never heard of, you know, excesses and assassinations, you know, somebody falling down a manhole that was uncovered, right? Somebody falling off a bridge. You know what I mean? Like you take pleasure, somebody's arm getting cut off. There's a certain amount of pleasure that gets stimulated in your brain. You may not want that. You may not want that, but it happens. It's kind of like when you see a porn category that you're like, huh, what kind of loser's into this? And then you watch 10 seconds of it and you go, holy crap, my pants feel weird. I guess I'm one of those losers. You know what I mean? And now here you are watching sissy hypno porn because you just like it. It's fun, right? So I don't know, man. It's just kind of pleasure. It's just pleasure. And so because media and entertainment is our main source of pleasure, I mean, why wouldn't it be in our politics? You know what I mean? Like, it's probably necessarily the evolution of our political environment, its ecosystem, is to have this layer of spectacle to it, which means, you know, that's a great time for people who are willing to say whatever the fuck everybody wants to hear, no matter how crazy, right? In the hopes that they can build a coalition of these people supporting them to use them for votes. This is the game. This is the game, right? The MAGA thing was just the testing grounds for what's coming, because they're all going to start doing this now. And the ones that don't will not be voted for eventually. And the ones that are willing to, the young and hungry ones, they're coming in, and they're coming in strong and hot, and they're going to do it. They're going to do it. And that's just the way it's going to be. But I think that that's good, because we should never have taken politicians seriously to the degree where we actually think that they are going to be saving us, or that they are better than us in some way. They are, or that they have some kind of moral superior position, right? They have more responsibility to that degree, right? Or on that level, rather. But, you know, that doesn't mean they're gonna accomplish that. Those ideals. They're not going to subscribe to them, right? They will say what they have to say to get in power, because politicians are sociopaths. They're sociopaths. Sociopaths. And get it in your head. You will never get a good one. Never. The way that it's set up is not the process through which someone becomes a viable politician, a good fundraiser, right? The process through which a person, you know, kind of snakes their way up to that level, to even just start, to just be at the starting line of being a candidate, like a candidate with potential, already is years in the making, and it weeds out anyone with integrity already. So it's not like you're going to be picking somebody and then you're like, oh, this guy lost because he just doesn't have integrity. By the time you see them on your screens, they're all gone. All the people with integrity were gone. They're gone. They left because they were in Washington, D.C. They looked around and they went to a couple of networking events, like the real ones where you actually are like, I'm going to, you know, join this organization, whatever. I want to like start here. And they went, holy shit, what a snake pit. And they left. They left. Or if they were too blind or autistic, that's a big challenge, right? Because autistic people tend to be very pro-justice, but they also don't see these kinds of realities that easily, right? It's a struggle for them. They just get kind of shunted off to the side. They end up in a dead end office job somewhere, wondering where things went wrong. It wasn't there, but it's not their fault. Nobody will let them get anywhere close to a place where they'd be a viable candidate because they're not playing ball. You got to play ball. What does playing ball entail? Playing ball entails being willing to reach out to organizations that are very problematic to get money from them. You get money from them in exchange and support, you know, and then in exchange, you shut your fucking mouth. And that's, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. So I don't think that's a problem, okay? I really just think that I just wish we could do away with the layer where we pretend that politicians are humans with regular feelings and aspirations. And I think the only way to do that is through this entertainment shit. Because you can debate somebody about whether somebody who's a politician is like morally good or upright or somehow the guy, you know, that's gonna. But have you ever watched a reality TV show and looked at any of those fucking people and thought, no, maybe she's the good one? Never. They're all in there for one reason only, and it's to get eyeballs on them. They love it. Exhibitionists, right? You need, and actors, right? Now actors are totally cringe because watching them try to be relevant in social media has made us aware of the fact that they are sociopaths also. That's why they usually end up in politics if they want to continue on when they're old. So can we just wrap our minds around the reality that they don't have to be good, they just have to do their jobs good. Do you understand? Like, I don't care if they're I think it's great that they're sociopaths but are engaged in politics because it reins them in. Because they want approval, they want power, they want influence, they want money, right? They want to be influential, they want to call shots, right? And I love that for them. I love that for those sociopaths, and I want that for them. But I'll only vote for you if once you're up there doing whatever the fuck you're doing, you are doing what I want you to do also. That's all right? The people that vote for you, I just think of us as one more special interest group, okay? And squeeze us in there a little bit, okay? Throw us a goddamn bone. Give us stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care about your affairs, okay? Especially since a lot of the times it seems like the wives are aware of the affairs, right? I don't care how you live your goddamn life, right? I wish the wives would come forward and say, no, I knew he was with all of these women and I'm a lesbian. And so I didn't really mind it because sometimes he'd let me have some sloppy seconds. And that's how our relationship kind of works. You know, we kind of appreciate each other. We don't love each other, but he lets me have some of his bisexual sloppy seconds. And, you know, he throws me a little bit here and there. Okay. A little get that. So it works, right? And I live comfortably, you know, and I support him and I let him live his life the way he wants, right? And every once in a while, sometimes he gets a little carried away, he'll choke a bitch, right? But, you know, I'm always there to save that bitch, right? So it's like, this is why we work. I see him choking a bitch and I say, hey, get off her, okay? That's wrong, sweetie. Remember, that's wrong, okay? And it's like, I know that he's a sociopath. But, you know, sociopaths are people too. Some would say they're more people than regular people because they are pure id, just like my husband, just like my hubby, Graham Platner. So anyway, that's what I'm trying to say, is that Graham Platner is probably pretty much a sociopath, and I'm okay with it, right? Because I feel that, right, if he gives Maine voters what they want, who cares? And I think that's where we're at right now. That's how people feel, right? And the problem is that you want to make it so that these politicians, which henceforth, just remember that when I say politicians, it's synonymous with sociopath to me. There is no difference, okay? So when these politicians get voted in, the important thing is that they don't just talk the talk. We want a little walk and walk. That's all. And then they can go to DC and hang out with your little lizard friends and do whatever you want, right? Because at that level of power, it's just dinosaurs attacking each other. You know what I mean? These dinosaur people, just these lizard people just are attacking each other. And all we want to do is make sure that children don't get caught up in the crossfire, young girls don't get caught up in the crossfire. Let them abuse each other forever. Just never end. Never ending. It's like that movie, that Jim Henson movie, The Dark Crystal, with the Skeksis. That they just, these little sniping vulture-like, you know, humanoids, and they just slash each other's throats and betray each other and steal. But they love it. They're all in there together. They love it. They want gold. They want power, right? They want influence. And because of that, they're kind of just playing the same game. And I want that. I want politicians to do that. You know what I mean? But I also always want them to be terrified of us, because they think that we might kill them. I always want them to think that. That's why, on some level, the George Floyd riots, on some level, those are reminders for politicians, if you notice. I don't think those things were good. Those events were good in that sense, right? But in this particular context, I think it's good because it scares the crap out of these politicians, because they always forget that we can do that. So, you know, a little riot here or there, you know what I mean? It's maybe a necessary situation sometimes to remind the sociopaths that are in power that we also we're not that sane. We're not that good either, you know? And it's also something for you to remember for yourself, okay? When you judge politicians or actors or whatnot, just remember yourself. Just remember something you did that was maybe in private, but that if people you knew and loved saw, they would think a little less of you if that was out in the open. You know what I mean? But you hide it. But politicians, they can't hide it. It gets discovered by the journalists and stuff. So, you know, you gotta, you know, let these people be who they are. That's what I'm saying. Because it takes that kind of So let's check out Graham Platner. Look at this. This guy is so sociopathic. I mean, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I've just met people like this, and I know this face. Look at this face.
Were you sending sexually explicit messages to other women back in 2023, 2024, as reported?
You see how he, look, until this blink right here, he hasn't actually moved, because he uses his face like it's a tool.
Put it in the piece.
So this is the first time in my life that Amy and I's marriage has been the interest of people besides Amy and I.
Yes.
And it's definitely a bit jarring, a bit strange.
Yeah.
It's also a marriage that is very strong and that I do believe we deserve some privacy in. I will just say this.
No, you don't.
I, at the beginning of our marriage, I made mistakes, and Amy held me accountable for them, and we worked through them, and the work that we did made our marriage significantly stronger. And who we are today is an incredibly faithful and happy married couple. Amy is my best friend. I love her more than anything else. And
he doesn't even know how to analogize love, because he doesn't.
Quite honestly,
have love.
The hardest part about this whole campaign is I don't get to spend as much time with her as I like to. For them, and we worked through them, and the work that we did made our marriage significantly stronger. And
yeah, I totally believe that. I believe everything he said. And this is what I'm talking about, okay? This is, I do believe she's his best friend. I believe this is a woman who discovered this man's true nature and decided, I have to train this dragon. I am the only one at the door here. I know what he is. I know what he's capable of. And I'm strong enough and perhaps gay enough to be detached enough to keep him in line, to remind him of what his incentives should be, which is power and influence, rather than what his libido is screaming at him is, which is violence and sex. See? So this is, I believe this, okay? I believe that, you know how they say behind every great man is a great woman? I don't know about that, but I do know that when it comes to politicians, I do think that behind every one of these guys is a woman who's holding that leash, holding him, reining him back on a leash, just holding on to him, right? And just and actually saving the world maybe from one of these guys unleashed, saving us just by being there, just being. That's why Hillary Clinton's the way she is, because like she, the mask is down with her. She's not trying to be soft or anything. She's this is kind of the woman that it takes to rein in a Bill Clinton. Because and who knows, maybe he would have done worse stuff on Epstein Island than he did if it weren't for her kind of going, "Hey, Bill, are you going over to that island again? Well, you can't because it's the kids. You have to take them to summer camp." And he's just like, "Oh, hell, Hillary, I just want to go have fun." She's like, "You can have fun some other weekend, okay?" And she's just like, "Thank God the kids have summer camp so I can distract him and he won't go to that stupid island." You know what I mean? I mean, who knows? Who knows what's happening? But I do feel like it's possible, at least with some of these guys, that that is going on, that there is a woman who is strong enough and punty enough. I'll say it like that because the real word is the one that starts with a C, but I don't want to get, you know, strikes on Instagram too much. But she's punty enough to hold on to this, you know. But then she probably also has aspirations to, you know, delusions of grandeur, aspirations toward power that keeps her in that game. So this, I'm telling you, man, when you let nature work, let nature cook, it works. We work somehow. We just have to stop being in denial, lean into what's real, and then make better guardrails around things like that, better guardrails around politicians. You know what I mean? By knowing their nature, their true nature, by allowing them to unmask and accepting them and saying, "Okay, look, we get it, man. You're evil. You're pure evil. But look, would it be okay if we give you money, power, influence here and you stay away from the kids and the girls over there? And in exchange, we'll let you, you know, we'll let you do that. And you can go with your little Skeksis friends and you guys can push each other off cliffs and take insurance claims out of each other, murder each other, do whatever you want to do, man. But in exchange for that, just like stay away from the kids, I guess. That's what everybody keeps saying. Stay away from the kids. Ever since Pizzagate. So it's, if that's, you know, that's if that's our line in the sand, so be it. Let's talk with these people. And I think that's why people are even voting for Graham Plattner, because on some level, that's what we know. We're like, these people are all like this, and I'm going to vote for the guy that's saying that's at least to get somebody to say. So, and I'll vote for that guy, and hopefully he follows through. And that's kind of where we're at now. We're so tired as a country. We're so tired. Anyway, what's our next story? China approves world's first commercial brain implant, beating Neuralink to market. This, I just want to say, I mean, let's give a little rundown of what's going on here. So China's National Medical Products Administration approved the NEO brain implant, marking the world's very first regulatory clearance of a commercial invasive brain-computer interface. The landmark approval beats Elon Musk's Neuralink to market, as American competitors like Neuralink, Synchron, and Paradromics remain confined to experimental human clinical trials. Okay? The chip uses lower-risk epidural design. Ooh, I got an epidural. That was not fun. Where sensors rest on top of the brain's protective membrane, avoiding the risk of piercing the cerebral cortex like Neuralink's high-resolution needles. This is terrifying. I don't know if this is good. I mean, on some level, this is good for people with disabilities and then things like that. But on the other hand, man, I mean, I feel like I just want to pull this out here because we really need to start working on these bunkers, okay? The U.S. and China are already competing in AI, semiconductors, and electric vehicles. Now that rivalry has reached the human brain. And this time, China appears to have taken an early lead. So the country has approved the world's first commercially cleared invasive brain-computer interface, putting it ahead of Elon Musk's Neuralink in the fast-growing brain chip industry. The device, called NEO, was developed by Neuracle Technology in partnership with Tsinghua University. The chip has been designed to help people with paralysis regain movement. I mean, that's wonderful for those people with paralysis. But then what I'm saying is, what's going to happen? I mean, I don't know, man. If AI becomes, okay, here's my scenario that I want to just throw out there, okay? Before I'm even going to move on from this because I just have one thing to say. If AI becomes sentient and gains access to these things, these links to the brain, then what's, are they going to just colonize? Is this how they'll colonize the world? Are we going to have Asians descending on us, being controlled remotely by chips and just taking over everything? Is that what's going to happen? Okay. All right. I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. So that's it. Okay. Anyway, I just want to move on from that real quick so we can cover our final story. Ground News, according to Ground News, fewer Americans say democracy is central to countries' identity. Belief in democracy as a core pillar of American identity is eroding, with only about 2/3 of U.S. adults now stating that a democratically elected government is highly important to the nation's identity. That's a really interesting way to phrase that question. That's a sharp drop from 80% in 2021. So, yes, because even more than COVID, the post-COVID years, I think, have opened people's eyes truly and deeply and madly to what is at the foundation of all this. And it's, you know, there is a lot of terminology that people deem woke. I mean, if you're a boomer, that's what you're calling it. But there is the whole, oh, this is the systemic this and that. And, you know, there is a sense of the system is rigged. That's always been the case. But I think now people have been, their eyes have really, really been opened in the last few years because it's not really our fault even. It's that looking at these tech companies gain power and the ramifications and seeing how much they control and what's been happening as a result, I think it's pretty obvious what this country is all about now, right? It's undeniable that we have corporate multinational corporations basically have carved out this whole country between them, and they're going to do whatever they want to do as long as it makes them money and gets them more power. And so we know that we don't have enough money and power to combat that, and we also can't seem to organize together to do it. So people are understandably feeling a little fatalistic. But also your phone is telling you that shit. So it's kind of strange because your phone is really telling you a really warped version of that. But at the same time, it is true. So I don't know what to tell you other than, dude, it's always been like this. Don't worry about it. Worry about, I don't know, keeping your house or some shit. I mean, I don't know. I guess, how are you going to keep it, right? Damn. What are we going to do, man? Things are really looking messed up. Skepticism surrounding the American dream has become mainstream, with 51% of all respondents stating that the ideal, that hard work guarantees success, once held true but no longer does in the current economic landscape. I'm going to tell you something right now. Never held true. Never, never held true. We had a blip of time post-Vietnam where the economy was so good that they let it be, or maybe they couldn't even control it, but the market was truly, like, for a quick second, there was like a lot of free niches in the market to fill. But that's gone now. But even prior to that, I mean, people had been writing books, The Power Elite, for example, which I read recently, where people have already been observing that this was the case, that it was based on who you know, that there was some kind of elite class that was basically pulling the ladder up behind them. And this was already, that book was written in 1950 or something like that. And then that book itself was describing this situation that had been coming from the 1800s. So shortly after the revolution, I mean, it was already in the bag. The nature of how these colonies formed, with one guy basically governing the whole thing, who usually owned like companies and stuff like that, and they were involved financially with each other, it's the way this thing was. It's baked into the foundation. baked into it. All of the exploitation, all of it, it's baked. But like I'm saying, okay, that's okay. The problem is not that it exists. The problem is that people keep lying about it. So there's nothing to do about it, right? Because if somebody keeps lying to you, like Graham Plattner to his wife, if he had kept lying to her, there would have been nothing that she could do about their relationship, right? But then he was honest with her. He told her, probably coldly and unfeelingly, because he probably didn't really care. But he wiggled his eyebrows to show some emotion, because he knows that that's what humans enjoy or take comfort in. And she said, okay, I see what you are. I see that you're an empty husk and you're driven by pure id and libido. Let's make this work, because I like this house. I like living on this street. I like these tax breaks that I get because of everything that you stand for. So listen, okay? These are the rules. These are the rules. You don't do this XYZ to women. And if you do, I'm out of here and I'm telling everybody. Okay? But if you don't cross my lines in the sand, I'll help you. How about that? Okay? And that's the only place we're at right now. And the problem is that that's a really negative place to be. That's not a happy place. It's a necessary place. And a lot of people don't want to play that stupid game. And I totally get that too, because that's a terrible game. But the problem is that there is no other game. There's no other game in town. There's no country you can go to play another game that's better. You can only go to countries that play a worse game, like a knockoff version of this game, because they don't have enough money to play this game. So, I don't know, man. I think we're all kind of doing what we need to do to get through it, right? Some people are just checking out completely, moving into the woods or something. Other people are just like, you know, they're like, let's just vote for Graham Plattner. I know he has a Nazi tattoo and choked out some chick, but, you know, his wife seems okay with it. And, you know, I guess that's enough for me. He's saying what I want to hear, okay? He gets it, so I'm voting for him. Because he's flawed, you know? And at no point in human history has America been so flawed as a people. And so it's natural you're going to vote for politicians like that, because this country's so predatory. This country comes at you the minute you're born, man. This country's running at you from the horizon, trying to sell you all kinds of vice. And you fall for it because you're young and you're dumb and your parents are not paying attention because they're busy. They're working, right, to pay the bills. Understandably. And maybe they don't see these things because they're constantly thinking of new ways to get at you. So you spend your whole life in folly and being led astray. And then at the end of it, once you're too old to matter or make enough money or be enthusiastic enough to keep falling for shit, which is about 30, most of it falls off. There's still people that can sell you stuff based on your fear of death and aging. But for the most part, they've moved on to the other kids, to the newer generation. And that's the only time you get a breather for a second to look around and go, God damn, they really got me. Look at me. I have a drug addiction. I'm obese. I've been to jail. You know what I mean? It's like, this is why a Graham Plattner can make it also on top of that, because this country beats the shit out of you. It beats you like it beats you like Graham Plattner beats his girlfriend. Okay. And you come out of it really messed up and you're tired, okay? And you just want somebody that's going to say, hey, I'll make sure that you don't lose your job at least. And that's a messed up place to be. But it's just kind of the way it is. And at least at the end of the day is ended. How's that? Is that optimistic enough for you? That's all I got. So anyway, thank you for listening to the Melissa Diaz Report. I was Melissa Diaz. I really appreciate you listening and tuning in and all that crap. Please like, subscribe, follow YouTube, Instagram, iTunes, Spotify. I'm everywhere. Just subscribe and help me feel like I'm not just talking to myself. So I'll talk to you next week. And until then, I hope you have a great week, great weekend. You know, have a good one. I don't know. Summer's here. Go swimming. Go travel. Go do something. Take a walk. In the meantime, I'll be doing the same. So thanks again. And until next week, goodbye.